guys ready?
Almost.
All right. All righty. Legislator Maloney? Okay, thanks. Good evening, everybody. I'm going to call this March 18th, 2025 regular meeting of the Ulster County Legislature to order. Please stand for the pledge, followed by a moment of silent reflection. Thank you, everybody. And I want to recognize everybody who's wearing a little green tonight in honor of our St. Patrick's Day. Thank you. It's with gratitude and humility that I acknowledge that we are gathering on the ancestral homelands of the Mohican, Munsee Lenape, and Skaticoke people, who are the indigenous peoples of Ulster County. To learn more about these tribes, past and present, please visit links available through our QR code. As we take a moment to recognize Women's History Month, we celebrate the countless contributions women have made to our nation's history, culture, and progress. This month is an opportunity to reflect on the resilience, achievements, and leadership of women who have shaped our society in every field, from government and science to arts and civil rights. To learn more, we invite you to explore two resources available via the session QR code, the official Women's History Month website, and the timeline of women's history in the U.S. These links provide a deeper look into the stories and milestones that continue to inspire change and equality today. I call on Clerk Fabella to read the announcements, and please call the roll.
Announcements. Fire evacuation. Official record. Roll call. Clinton.
Here.
Collins.
Here.
Corcoran.
Here.
Criswell.
Here.
Donaldson.
Here.
Ferris.
Present.
Green.
Here.
Hansett.
Here.
Harmon.
Here.
Hewitt.
Here.
Kitchen.
Here.
Kovacs.
Here.
Levine.
Here.
Litz.
Here.
Lopez.
Here.
Maloney.
Here.
McCullough.
Here.
Nolan.
Here.
Roberts.
I am here.
Sperry.
Here.
Stewart.
Here.
Uchitel. And Walls.
Here.
Everyone is present. 23 present and 0 absent.
Tonight we have two public hearings. I want to remind everyone that you have 2 minutes to speak. We encourage you to speak, and we ask that everyone please keep their comments respectful. Clerk Fabella, can you call the first hearing?
Tonight's first hearing is being conducted as required under Article 25 AAA of the Agriculture and Markets Law, on the Ulster County Agricultural and Farmland Protection Draft Plan.
And do we have anyone signed up to speak?
We do. We currently have 3 speakers signed up to speak. Thank you, Michael. The first speaker signed up is John Adams.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Thank you. I am on the Ulster County Agriculture and Farmland Protection Board, and I've been coming to this room for about 25 years now to try to protect our farmland in the town of Wawarsing specifically. I actually grew up in Modena, where the Herd Farm is now. More specifically, I'm trying to protect the former prison farmland, which was given up in about 2009, I believe, when the prison program ended, the prison farming program ended. And anyway, with regard to the plan that you're considering, I'd like to ask that you add one thing to it, and that is that the former prison farm in Wolverine, which is known as Colony Farm, should be protected as an Ulster County Ag Park. We went to Mike Hine 15 years ago when the farm closed, and we suggested this. It would be a place which has public access and where farmers do the maintenance so that the taxpayers don't have to pay for it, and which would allow for agricultural production and the production of value-added products. And the county helped us pay for a feasibility study back in 2018, which determined that it was possible to have agritourism at Colony Farm and that it could be successful. So I would like to, again, see you specifically add to the Farmland Protection Plan the idea of protecting Colony Farm as the Ulster County Ag Park. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
The second speaker signed up is Julia Farr.
Hello. I am Julia Farr, and I am making a statement in support of the draft Agricultural and Farmland Protection Plan. I am from the Farmer Housing Working Group, which is a network of Hudson Valley farmers, affordable housing organizations, community land trusts, cooperative development groups, farm service providers, and members of local government that came together to understand and address the need for affordable housing for workers on small farms. Hudson Valley growers are the ones behind the scenes who make this area so sought after, supplying restaurants and farmers markets with fresh local food and stewarding scenic landscapes. Unfortunately, with all of the demand to experience this lifestyle from visitors and newcomers, the very people who make it so special are no longer able to afford to live here. With workers unable to find housing and farms unable to find and retain workers, small farms are downsizing, reducing productivity, or shuttering altogether. These extraordinary pressures put the agricultural nature of our region in serious question. We need to respond now in time to establish dedicated affordable farmer and farm worker housing. We support the recommendation in the Ulster County Agricultural and Farmland Protection Plan under Supportive Infrastructure Recommendations, Section D, which states, pursue the development of farm worker housing. A summary of the bullets that follow are, one, evaluate the feasibility of developing a suitable site in Ulster County as a pilot farmworker housing project. Two, add farmworker housing to the list of project types eligible for support through Ulster County's existing Housing Action Fund. Three, when the County Housing Action Plan is updated, include information on farm employment and farmworker housing. Four, educate municipal leaders and planning board members on New York State agriculture market rules related to farmworker housing and assist communities in updating local zoning to allow for farmworker housing within New York State agricultural districts. The Farmer Housing Working Group recommends that Ulster County Legislature adopt the Ulster County Agricultural and Farmland Protection Plan so that these recommendations can be implemented. And the Farmer Housing Working Group is interested in participating in the implementation of the farmworker housing goals of this plan. Thank you.
Thank you. And if you can, if you'd like, you can submit your comments as well.
Yeah, we'd love that. Thank you. The last speaker signed up for this hearing is Leanna Hoods.
Good evening. I'm Leanna Hoods. I live in the town of Shangum, and I represent the Northeast Organic Farming Association of New York. We are the only organization, statewide organization in New York that serves all farmers, specifically about organic farming practices, and we are the largest certifier in New York State. We certify about 1,100 of the 1,900 entities in New York State that are organic. Just for background, New York State is third in the country of number of farms that are organic, and we appreciate some reference in the Ag Protection Plan that about organic. We think that Ulster County could do more to support organic farming, and we hope that indeed this plan is passed, it's a good plan, and that the outcome of it is also that we look at organic practices for which will benefit all of us for climate issues and soil health. So please pass this plan and please work on supporting our small farms and family farms, which make up all of Ulster County's agriculture. But also please correct in this plan that NOFA New York is a statewide organization. We provide services to all farmers about all sorts of practices that can help build their soil health and build their profitability, as well as certifying organic. Thank you, and go Ulster County Ag.
Thank you very much. Is there anybody else who would like to speak on the Ulster County Agriculture and Farmland Protection Draft Plan? Anybody else who would like to speak on this? Anybody else who would like to speak on this? Seeing none, do I have a motion to adjourn the public hearing?
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion to adjourn the public hearing.
And is there a second? All in favor? Any opposed? Adjourn that meeting. Clerk Fabella, can you please call the second public hearing?
Tonight's second public hearing is on proposed local law number 1 of 2025, a local law amending the Ulster County Charter and amending the administrative code for the County of Ulster in relation to legislator qualifications.
And do we have anyone signed up to speak?
There is no one signed up to speak.
Is there anybody present here who would like to speak on proposed law, local law number 1? Anybody who would like to speak on this local law? Proposed local law number 1, and a third call. Seeing none, I ask for a motion to adjourn this public hearing.
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion to adjourn the public hearing.
Is there a second? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Public hearing is closed. Thank you. I'd now like to announce birthdays for the month. Legislator Jeff Collins, March 2nd, happy birthday. Legislator Tom Corcoran, March 15th, happy birthday. Legislative Minority Counsel Nick Pascal, March 27th, happy birthday, Nick. Legislator Rich Walls, March 28th. And Legislator Greg McCullough, March 31st. Happy birthday, everybody. I ask for a motion to dispense with the readings of the previous meeting minutes.
Move to dispense with the reading of the minutes.
And do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Carries. There are various communications listed and on file in the clerk's office that remain available for inspection. Those interested, please contact the clerk. I now grant privilege of the floor to Steve Micchio, CEO, and Kimberly Wing, COO of People USA. Steve Micchio is a visionary leader with lived experience who has been pioneering peer-run, peer-centered mental health and crisis response services for over 2 decades. Kimberly Wing is a licensed clinical social worker with over 10 years of experience in New York's nonprofit sector and is dedicated to improving behavioral health services. We welcome them to share information regarding our new Crisis Support Center, a 24/7 community crisis response hub. Welcome.
Good evening. Thank you. I am Steve Micchio. I'm the CEO of People. I've been there for 25 years. Simply, we are a what's known as a peer-run organization, which means those of us that work at the organization are people with lived experience of mental health or substance use. And over the years, we had designed services that we thought made sense in the behavioral health world better than tradition. And because of our lived experience, we had the opportunity to see what it was like to be the patients and then move to the provider. And that experience, I think, has really elevated this organization to be successful in the work we do. We have a lot of services. I'm not going to go through all of them, but we have mobile crisis teams. We have law-assisted diversion teams. We have, we're very involved in criminal justice. We're very involved in housing, involved in care coordination, case management. Respite housing, we created the model for the United States in respite housing, which is an alternative to an emergency room and inpatient stay for people. It's like a bed and breakfast, better than a hospital setting could give you if you're in crisis. And we also designed and developed the Crisis Stabilization Center, which you're going to hear about, which is a wellness center here in Ulster County. Everyone calls them different names, but we did design it for New York State, and fortunately it is growing in New York State because it's a valuable service for people. It's a little slow. Okay, these are just our values and what we believe in, what we live every day in the organization. And as the organization grows, you can imagine the challenge of having more staff and maintaining this vision and these values. And we've been able to do it in every service that we deliver in the community. Some of my staff are here today, and I just want to recognize them because they're incredible at what they do. And we have helped so many people in all of our communities. We serve from we serve from Columbia County down to Yonkers and up to Glens Falls, New York. So we're all over the place, but it's nice to know we have the fidelity and belief in the values that we live every day and that we serve our communities with every day. So we work from four pillars, from engagement, how we engage people in a respectful manner, how we offer and lend a vision of hope immediately for people we serve. We are very in tune with environments. Environments should be safe places for people to go where they can feel safe. They can not have to worry about what that environment is looking like. It can smell good. It can look good. It can just feel good for people. The mutuality is our lived experience. Being able to share our experience with someone that's struggling helps them so much to know they're not alone. And when they know they're not alone, they listen differently. They give different information to us, and we're able to put better plans of care together for them. And then the philosophy of recovery. Hope should always greet you at the door, and recovery is always the expectation for everyone we serve. And we truly believe that. So we live that every day as well. Those pillars are what allowed us to grow and be successful in everything we do. So we know there is a public mental health crisis. In Ulster County alone, we did have 25 completed suicides, 346 overdoses, and 29 fatal overdoses. We also know those numbers are going down because of the work that Ulster County is doing in harm reduction and helping people live safer in the community. So it is working, and it's working well. And then there are other issues. Providing positive alternatives instead of jails, emergency rooms, and inpatient settings is what we designed and what we strive for. So they have their role, but not everyone deserves to be in jail. Not everyone deserves to be in a psychiatric hospital. If we can avoid that by giving them different tools, utilizing the community services in a better way, then we're doing our job in not only helping that individual be more self-determined and empowered, we're also reducing the cost of using expensive emergency crisis services in our communities. So it helps everyone overall in what we do. And now this is you.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Kimberly Wing, the Chief Operating Officer. I'm going to try and go quickly through these because I know we got 2 minutes and five seconds. So we're here today to talk about the Ulster County Crisis Support Center. And the Ulster County Crisis Support Center is a 24/7, 365-day-a-year community crisis support center for individuals in need. We don't close. It's snowing. It's holidays. Our staff is there and welcoming people at any point of need to support them. At the center, we have diverted from hospitalizations. This is some data from our Dutchess County Center. There's been diversion of 2,500 plus days of hospital each year and avoidance of $1.6 million spent on the criminal justice system. The data for the guests that we've seen about 3,000 guests in 2024. About 2,000 of them had mental health concerns, and about 700 had substance use disorder. A lot of the people that we see are youth. We see a lot of school-aged individuals in crisis, and we have a very close connection with the schools in the system because they know that the students of their classes can rely on us, they trust us, and they keep coming back to us. In 2023, 26% of the guests were youth, 2024, 15%, and during the school year, up to 60% of guests are under the age of 18. So we basically have magic wands, and our services are amazing, right? And how do we do that? So what we do is a wide variety. We see the whole person, and we treat individuals where they're at in their crisis. So a crisis to one person might look different to someone else, and we try and figure out how we can best support them through our mutuality and peer support services. We also are looking at assessments for substance use and mental health. We're looking at care coordination with our current providers, medication therapy, including detox and medication management, aftercare planning, and follow-up. And I really want to stress follow-up. A lot of times when people go, oh, I'm flashing, I won't stress follow-up. We're really big on follow-up.
Please continue your
presentation. Oh, okay. So a lot of times when people go to other systems of care, they might not be able to feel like their crisis was well managed because that follow-up with the service referral or the back into the community or the home is inconsistent. And I have to say our team does a fantastic job with that, making sure we communicate with whomever is going to be involved in that person's life and the person themselves afterwards. Outreach, so this is a collaborative service with a number of partners throughout Ulster County. I'm not going to read them all. You can see them there. But we are a part of the system. We are not a one-stop shop unless we are working together. So we're really big on collaboration and support. And we are we believe that there's no wrong door. We want all of our services to be accessible to anyone in need at any time. Everyone is welcome. And they are free and voluntary. And the center connects with a wide variety of other resources in the community as well. If we know someone in our community is in need, we will help them regardless of where they're going to. But if they come to the stabilization center and we're not the best fit, we'll help them get the warm handoff to go where to next. So what can you do? If you want to hear more, please reach out to us. Please join us in fostering hope and recovery. So those are the two main things we want everyone to know when they come to the center. Is we believe in recovery. We want you to leave with hope, and we know that you can do it because we have a bunch of people working beside you who have done it, and we will let you borrow our hope until you can find yours. Please provide public statements. Please provide information and resources as much as you can to help support us. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your presentation. And legislators, just so you know, I'm working with the team to set up a tour as soon as the facilities open. We'll reach out to you and get your availability on that. So thank you very much. At this time, I'd like to call up Minority Leader Roberts to give his address to the legislature. Thank you, sir.
Chair Criswell, Leader Uchitel, Deputy Leaders Levin and Lopez, my fellow legislators and guests, I look forward to working with you all of my colleagues when possible. Once again, it's an honor to be standing here as a minority leader addressing this body. I would not be here if it wasn't for the support of my caucus. Thank you all. It's my pleasure to introduce my Republican colleagues. I'm gonna go in alphabetical order so no one thinks they're more important than the others. Corcoran, Hansen, Kovacs, Litz, Lopez, Kitchen, Maloney, and Walls, together with Council Pascal, we are the Republican Caucus. Over the years, we have proven to be responsible partners, providing the best service for our constituents. We will work with our Democratic colleagues and County Executive Metzger whenever possible. I will not use my time here tonight to brag about legislative victories or dwell on past defeats. We need to be focused on what lies ahead. One of the big issues for me in my town is the EMS crisis. Together with Legislator Hansen and Clinton, we met with three fire commissioners from three different departments representing Plattekill, Lloyd, and the town of Newburgh. Lack of resources, money, and volunteers, the vital EMS services have changed, and not for the better. Legislator Kovacs has introduced a resolution that provides financial aids to the town. That's a good start, but it must not be the finish. The county, along with towns, must provide leadership on this crisis. For years, we have debated the solid waste management system. We can all agree that trucking our waste 570 miles round trip is not sustainable. Next month, we will be debating another possible landfill siting in Wawarsing. We all know anywhere in Ulster County a landfill is not going to happen. Why are we going down this dead-end road again? Sullivan County is quietly studying the feasibility of a waste-to-energy facility, a facility that will be built in Ulster County. Other counties have struggled with this problem. Sullivan is leading the way. We, this body, has a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to work with Sullivan, to be partners with them. We can influence the size, scope, and model of their new facility. Waste-to-energy facilities in Nassau County, New York, produce enough energy to power 50,000 homes. In Europe, for example, Sweden sends only 1% of their waste to landfills. 52% of that waste is turned into energy, 47% is recycled. The benefits of action far outnumber the benefits of inaction. Once again, I thank you all, and have a good night.
Thank you. I now call up Majority Leader Uchitel to give his address to the legislature.
Thank you, Chair Criswell. Good evening, colleagues. Good evening, staff and residents of Ulster County. As we continue our work together in this legislative session, it's important to reflect on what we've accomplished as a body and to share our collective vision for the work ahead. But before I speak about current initiatives, as we often do, I'm going to acknowledge the land that we gather on, where the Lenape and Munsee people lived for countless generations before European settlement. But rather than just a quick passing reference to the acknowledgement, I want to actually acknowledge some of their teachings that could influence our work today. The Lenape understood the world through the medicine wheel, a symbol that represents balance across four dimensions: physical needs, emotional well-being, mental clarity, and spiritual connection. The concept of a wheel or a cycle is present in most cultures and can serve as an important guide on the pathway to completeness and integrity. The medicine wheel teaches us that true community health requires attention in all aspects simultaneously, and that progress moves through cycles requiring patience and persistence. As we address the challenges of Ulster County today, this Indigenous wisdom offers valuable guidance. The medicine wheel reminds us that our policies must consider all perspectives and that all aspects of community life are interconnected. When we invest in housing, mental health, and emergency services, we're acknowledging this interconnection, that physical safety, emotional well-being, and community stability cannot be separated from each other. This past year, we've taken real action on issues that matter to Ulster County residents. Instead of just talking about problems, we've actually found solutions, breaking ground on new housing, expanding mental health services, and strengthening our emergency response capabilities. These aren't abstract achievements. These directly improve the lives of our neighbors. One of our most significant achievements is the creation of a new mental health facility, which we just heard about. After years of disinvestment and privatization of mental health services, we're establishing essential services here in Ulster County. We're providing physical space to house these services, demonstrating our commitment to community care through direct county involvement. Our housing initiatives represent another area where we've made meaningful progress. I want to acknowledge and specifically thank Minority Leader Roberts for co-sponsoring, along with my colleague Legislator Stewart, a resolution that created our eviction defense program. This program exemplifies what we can accomplish when we work across party lines, providing rental assistance to keep tenants in their homes, legal representation when they need it most, and case management to address their underlying challenges. Beyond keeping people from being displaced, we've also focused on expanding our housing inventory through our Housing Action Fund. In its first year, we successfully funded 5 affordable housing projects throughout Ulster County, and we've already opened applications for the next round of funding. This fund represents a true collaboration between the legislature and the County Executive's Office, and I want to applaud County Executive Metzger for helping co-create this program. a testament to what government can achieve when different branches work together with a common purpose. We're also making critical investments in emergency services, including the construction of a new emergency operations center. This project obviously won't be without its challenges or critics. It's easy to sit on the sidelines and say it's too expensive or to question our approach, but leadership means making difficult decisions and seeing them through, not just offering criticism. In an era of climate change bringing about unprecedented floods, fires, and storms to our region, emergency preparedness isn't just important, it's imperative. The safety of our residents is not a place for half measures. And as the majority party, we have a responsibility to bring essential projects like this across the finish line, especially when they directly impact public safety. I want to emphasize that our investments in housing and mental health services represent more than just local progress. These initiatives are Ulster County's contribution to addressing deeply entrenched systemic challenges facing communities across our nation. The housing crisis and mental health crisis are not unique to this county. They're national emergencies that require bold local solutions. When we fund affordable housing projects or create eviction defense programs, we're not just helping Ulster County residents. We're demonstrating what's possible when local governments step up where other levels of government have fallen short. When we bring mental health services back to the county and prioritize community care, we're creating a model that other counties can look to. This is the power of local government in 2025. To be laboratories where democracy can develop, test, and implement solutions to our most pressing national challenges. While we focus on delivering for Ulster County residents, we should take pride in knowing our work here contributes to a broader movement of communities finding new ways to serve residents. While we're proud of our initiative, our innovative approaches to housing and mental health, we must also address what I will call some Ulster County classics. Those persistent challenges that have been with us for years, sometimes decades. Issues like siting the landfill, or another opportunity that we should absolutely explore, and determining the future of the undesignated section of the railroad corridor. Let's be honest, these aren't issues that most of us are campaigning on, but leadership isn't just about choosing the most appealing challenges. It's about facing the difficult realities before us. These Ulster County classics are not going away on their own. We can't simply kick the cans further down the road. Guess what? We are down the road. The cans have reached us. What distinguishes this legislature must be our willingness to tackle both the exciting new initiatives and the longstanding challenges that demand resolution. Our constituents can expect nothing less than for us to make tough calls, even when they're unpopular or complex. Now, every initiative I've described, from mental health services to housing programs to emergency preparedness, depend on one critical resource. That is our county workforce. At a time when we've witnessed the horrifying mass dismissals of public servants at the federal level under the new Republican administration, we must send a clear message about how we value our county workforce here in Ulster County. The reality is simple. Our county employees are significantly underpaid. While we're committed to addressing this challenge in the most responsible way possible, action is needed. I know that the county executive's team is already engaged in talks with union leadership, and I call on those involved to ensure that 2025 is the year that we begin to properly compensate the county workforce. This isn't just about fairness to our employees, although that alone would be enough. It's about recognizing that the quality of services we provide depends directly on our ability to attract and retain dedicated, skilled public servants. Thank you. As we look to the year ahead, let's draw inspiration from the Medicine Wheel's teachings. Balance, interconnection, and holistic thinking. Let's continue to demonstrate that local government can be a force for positive change when it is guided by compassion, collaboration, and a focus on tangible results. Thank you. I look forward to working with all of you in the year ahead.
Thank you, Majority Leader. At this time, I'd like to move us into a period of public comment regarding resolutions currently before the legislature. I want to remind everyone that you have 2 minutes to speak, and this period is on resolutions before the legislature this evening. We encourage you to speak, and we ask everyone to keep their comments respectful. There will be a time to speak on issues not before the legislature, before the end of session. If you need a reference to tonight's agenda, we have a QR code available. Clerk Fabella, do we have anyone signed up for public comment?
We do. We have two speakers signed up.
Thank you.
The first speaker signed up tonight is Alexandria Wojcik.
Good evening.
Hey, everyone. Thanks so much. Sorry my voice is a bit gone because I've been talking to thousands of people. I'm here to express enthusiastic support and gratitude for Resolution 119, adopting the county parental leave program. Thank you. Now let's get to work to do even better. So I have an idea for you all to get going on right now. I urge the legislature to commit to passing similar legislation to support our statistically aging population. Much ado was made of the OFA not having a receptionist. We heard from our seniors and their loved ones and, you know, our employees and everyone else. And so we know how people feel and what they need and what they want. We know our residents need and want us to stand up for everyone's right to age with grace. So let's make sure our county's workforce can be with their new children when born, and let's also make sure Ulster County employees can be with their loved ones at the end of their lives. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
The next speaker signed up, I actually saw him leave the room. There he is. Chris Allen.
Hello, my name is Chris Allen. I'm from Saugerties. I represented District 2, Saugerties, Malvin, and West Camp from 2014-2017. I wanted to discuss the grant project that is going through tonight with UCAT funding. 18 months ago, legislator Phil Erner passed a great policy that provides free bus transportation throughout the county, and Phil Erner should be given recognition for a great policy that he set back then. I spoke to a resident in Saugerties that lives in special needs adult housing, and she had told me that she has to walk a long distance to go to the UCAT bus stop, and she was wondering if there was any way there could be an expansion of shuttle buses that would be going to residential centers like that in Saugerties and other places in Ulster County. And as I was thinking about it, it would probably be a good situation to expand services like that to some of the elderly housing throughout the county, as we do have a growing population. And the legislature should be applauded, though, for assisting Legislator Erner back 18 months ago to expand upon these services and to make riding the county buses free. And this is something I'd like to see us all work on in the near future. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Is there anybody else who would like to speak on issues before the legislature this evening? Anybody else? And a third and final call. Seeing none, I'm going to move us forward into the consent and non-consent agenda. Majority Leader Ishtel, is there anything moving in or out of consent or non-consent?
Yeah, I believe we can move Resolution 94 into consent.
I agree.
Thank you. And on the consent agenda.
On the consent agenda, we're a short yes with the following abstentions: on Resolution 85, Legislator Green; on Resolution 92, Legislator Hewitt; and Resolution 98, Legislator Nolan. I believe all for purposes of employment.
Thank you.
I believe we're a short yes.
Thank you.
The resolutions are adopted 23-0, with the exception of resolution number 85 is adopted 22-0 with one abstention, Legislator Green. Resolution 92 is adopted 22-0 with one abstention, Legislator Hewitt. And resolution 98 is adopted 22-0 with one abstention, Legislator Nolan.
Can I just, as a point of clarification, Deputy Majority Leader Levine just pointed out to me that 85, which I just listed as an abstention, is actually listed on a resolution packet as being postponed, so it might not have been adopted. I just want to clarify that since you just read that off.
Yeah, that is 100%.
It is 100% postponed. Because it is not on this agenda, so that's a great point. So that is, I will, for the purposes of correction of the record, there is no vote happening on Resolution 85 tonight.
Thank you, Sorry about that.
Deputy Majority Leader Levine, you get a gold star this evening. Thank you.
You actually saved us a whole lot of trouble there. I don't even know what would happen.
Thank you. I'm going to move us on to the non-consent agenda now.
The first resolution in non-consent this evening is Resolution 83, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an amendment to the service agreement with the Ulster County Resource Recovery Agency.
Legislator Kovacs.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to make a motion pursuant to Rule of Procedure 10Q to divide the question between the contract amendment and the bonding portion of the contract amendment.
That is non-debatable, and I'm going to allow that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And I'll second that.
Does it have to be seconded?
No.
No, it's not a vote. It's a request, which has been granted. Okay, so do we call this part one? What do we call this now?
Okay. It was very easy to divide, so we did that.
Just as a point of clarity, while that's being passed out, is it possible that we can have Legislative Council just share what's happening right now?
Absolutely.
Sure. Our rules pursuant to 10Q permits a member of the body to request that a resolution which has two distinct propositions in it be divided. And in this case, the resolution does qualify under that rule and can be divided lawfully.
Minority Counsel, do you want to add anything to that, or are you fine? Okay. Thank you.
And just one, a motion from any member can compel that with no debate. Okay.
Yeah, it's a request. Not even a motion. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Let's move into the 83.
So under the division, Resolution 83 becomes authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to extend the service agreement with the Ulster County Resource Recovery Agency.
Legislator Maloney.
Sure. We had extensive talks in caucus on this. To be honest, the 60-day extension makes sense because the contract's going to be up and we haven't finished. Actually, I don't even know of any negotiations that have happened that the legislature has been involved in. I'm not sure why we didn't just amend the contract. It would make more sense to amend the contract today and just put the wording in that until the contract is either renegotiated or voided, it continues on. But there was no language in the contract to that. So there's some concern. So we're going to put a 60-day extension, but we might be here next month doing another extension when we could just do an amendment to the contract. Secondly, the add-on that the bonding for a specific project out on a purchase of a building out on Flatbush, our bonding, our authority over...
Point of order, that's not this resolution.
We'll get to that with the next one. Thank you. Any other on the contract extension? Minority Leader Roberts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. During debate on this, during Environment Committee and on Ways and Means, I brought up the fact that this body should be taking the lead on negotiations, as was not the case. You had called me up, and I thank you, and said we will be more involved in negotiations with the resource recovery, and I thank you for that.
You're welcome. On the resolution.
On the resolution, we're short yes.
Short yes.
The resolution is adopted 23-0. The next resolution becomes 83A. 83A is authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an amendment to the service agreement with the Ulster County Resource Recovery Agency.
So they're officially separated now?
Correct.
And we approved.
We don't need to vote on it. I approved it. I approved the separation.
Okay.
Yep. So they are.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Now I have the clarity on why we weren't. I thought.
Okay. No worries.
I got you.
Sorry.
As far as this goes, I don't know why we wouldn't keep the authority. It was meant for. Look. From the beginning of this charter form of government, our forefathers and mothers understood how important it was for a legislative body and not one powerful person to oversee tax breaks and garbage. And that's the RA and the IDA. And a big part of our oversight and ability to oversee the RA is the appointment of members and the ability to approve bonding over $500,000. I don't think it should ever be removed. We were just told in caucus that by one person that they will not basically allow, and they speak for the board, which is bizarre to me, that they will not be signing a new contract unless we raise the bonding ability. It's crazy to me that the director would be able to say that without the board. That's the board's decision in my mind, and I've never seen a director behave or talk that way. I don't think we should do it here. We are literally voting to take away our own power here if we make this vote. Make them, and we lose all leverage on this project. Maybe this project's great. It probably will be approved, but why would we pre-approve it by taking away our only leverage? They will now have to come to us and talk to us about a $10 million project if they want to do it and get started on it. All of our input, all of our leverage leaves if we vote yes right now and approve this to go forward without our bonding approval vote. So vote no. Let them come to us and make sure this project's done right.
Legislator Nolan, followed by Minority Leader Roberts.
Yes, thank you. I think we're exercising our authority. We're being presented with the question of whether this specific project should have this bond limit removed and set at a new level. So we're making a decision to do that. And that decision is because of what I understand to be very wide support for a resource innovation and reuse center and for the specific location that has been identified by the agency. So if they were not arguing against the RIC or we're not arguing against the site that's been chosen and it's very reasonable to use bonding for this $10 million, then what are we objecting to? I think it's the agency is acting exactly as they should in accordance with the direction that is being given by the legislature. This vote is our opportunity to disagree with that, and so I certainly respect my colleagues who might choose to do that, but it would seem to me that they should argue against one of those three things because that's what this resolution is doing.
Thank you. Minority Leader Roberts, followed by Legislator Kitchen, followed by Legislator Stewart.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I could probably argue against all three right now. When I came to a random environment committee meeting about 10 days ago or so, on my desk was the amendment to raise the bonding from $500,000 to $10 million. It was attached to another resolution that shouldn't have been attached. It should have been a separate resolution. I thank you for doing that. The Director of the Resource Recovery told us they had 5 months. They've been studying this project, and we just get it that night of the Environment Committee meeting. That's not transparent. That's not the way good government works. We're bonding for $10 million on a reuse innovation center. Half of that project is office buildings. So we're going to be buying office buildings. The director tells us he's going to be keeping that on the tax rolls, but we got no guarantees that's going to happen. We got no guarantees this project is going in front of the planning board. This project is going to be somehow we're going to magically get construction debris that other people are throwing out, and we're going to put it into a 20,000 square foot warehouse, and people are going to come and buy it. This is a business model that does not work. There's a facility in Tompkins County. I asked the director what kind of success it has. He didn't know. So this is a terrible project. We should be vetting the project. It sounds great taking stuff out of the landfill, but this is not going to work. It's going to be a $10 million boondoggle, and we should vote no on it.
Just for a point of clarity, we are not bonding on that. It would be the Resource Recovery Agency. Legislator Kitchen.
Good evening. I have some concerns. Pickers store, or whatever you want to call it, you're putting in down here, is in my legislative district. Not far and right next to a large housing development that's already being affected by the noise of airplanes and helicopters. And I just found out a little while ago that the supervisor of this town just found out about this morning, about the use of this project similar to like a Habitat for Humanity. And the director tells me he sits on the camera and he can watch people bringing in all kinds of good stuff like antiques and chairs and furniture and all kinds of good things. I don't know why the county would be in the business of wasting the taxpayers' money to the tune of a whole lot of money to get into the used antique junk business. I think this is money that could be better well spent somewhere else to fund some of these needs that the county has and continues to have. I just think this is the biggest, I don't know. I don't think we should be in the junk business. And I just think opening up this site without transparency, without letting the local officials even know about it. And the director said, well, he'll let the board of Town of Ulster Town Board know. The residents might be finding this out for the first time this evening. I have no idea how this is going to affect traffic in this area. I asked him how he's going to get the nails out of the wood that he wants to recycle. He said he will be having people on site banging nails out of the wood and the plywood and things. And I hope they're going to pesticide the furniture and clean that really well when you go to get such a good price for it. But I just don't think this project money. It's not money well spent. It could go to other things that this county needs more. And I find this just ridiculous and frivolous, and I'm totally against it. Thank you.
Thank you again for a point of clarity. This is an independent agency that is asking for the bonding authority. This is not the county that's going to be bonding on this. So I just want to make that clear. I have Legislator Stewart, followed by Collins, followed by Maloney, followed by Nolan for a second time.
I just wanted to point out to my fellow legislators and those in attendance this evening that the Reuse Innovation Center is all about diverting waste from the waste stream and also creating a market for those products that have been removed from the waste stream and then fixed, or however you want to put it. This particular building has the appropriate square footage to handle construction debris. It also has a showroom space that can be used as a retail store for people to purchase these goods that have been taken from the waste stream, repaired, and then sold to the public. This particular building is an ideal location in that it is across the street and very close to the agency's headquarters. In addition to that, I wanted to point out that the language in the resolution specifies that the increase in bonding authority applies specifically to the purchase of this particular property, which will then become the Reuse and Innovation Center. So, I mean, I think this is accomplishing all of the goals that we have put forth in our plans for, you know, dealing with waste and recycling. And so I think it's a great thing, and I certainly hope that we pass this resolution.
Thank you. So it's legislators Collins, Maloney, then Green, and then Nolan.
So a couple things. I grew up in Tompkins County. My family still lives in Tompkins County. I have visited their reuse center. It's a very nice facility, and it does a very good service for the county. Part of what this is trying to do is reduce the amount of stuff that goes into eventually a landfill. We've talked already about the setting of landfill or not setting of a landfill, the less stuff we have, I'm saying stuff, not garbage, because it's only garbage when it's all put together, the less stuff, the less we need a landfill. So it seems like the people who do not want landfills would support this project. As been said by the chair, the tax money, the money for this is not coming from taxes. It's a separate agency. And lastly, the county is not getting into the junk business. UCRA is already in the junk business. They're just trying to find a way to actually monetize the junk business.
Legislator Maloney for a second time.
Sure. I heard this referred to as an independent agency that's doing their own bonding. You know, if they fail to pay their bonds, we pay it. That's why we have this authority. So we do need the authority to oversee what they're planning to do and question them on it, because it's these taxpayers here that'll pay the failure of that bond to be paid, just like we used to pay the net service fees they couldn't come up with until we, the legislature, gave them flow control and the ability to make quite a bit of money. They still owe, we paid $37 million and never got a dime back. I hope that's part of the negotiating. If I'm part of the negotiating team, it certainly will be part of the conversation that there's $37 million in net service fees that we were never paid back. So if they have all this money that they can now go and spend, perhaps they can pay some of that back. We do want to take reusable pieces of furniture, bricks, Victorian doors and windows out of the waste stream. But there's a best way to do this. So I never like hearing that argument. Well, this is kind of a good thing, so you're against it, or you're either for it or you're against it. No, I'm for getting it the best we can. I was part of the Recycling Oversight Committee for years, and we talked. We had complete hours-long meetings on just this topic. And what we had come up with then was that if you're going to do something like this, you need the private sector involved far more, and you need logistically, you need the municipal transfer stations involved, which I've gotten no feedback on, and the facility would best be served out in front on all that extra property that the RA has. We have one of the biggest contractors that just spoke right here, our minority leader. When he's loading up a truck of old C&D after he does a big demo or rips a roof off, if he's got a couple of things that can be saved, he does not want to drive down the road to this other facility. He wants it right out in front so they can pull it off the truck out in front of the RRA. Logistically, it makes sense. We have the land there. Yes, there's some permits to get through. The state has some things to say about it. We can get through it to do it right. We could prefab a building for cheaper than $10 million. This is not ready to go. When I asked how we're going to get these things out of the waste stream over to this facility from the transfer stations and from other places, they're going to hire a guy, he said, to drive around or something like that. This is not ready to go. And that's why we should not forfeit our authority over this bond. Keep us and our say in this so that they can continue to come to us and talk about this. There's a reason they've been negotiating for the last 5 or 6 months and just came to us at the last second. There's a reason they didn't talk to the town supervisor until today. There's a reason they are not voluntarily going before the town's zoning and planning boards. It's because they know this isn't ready to go. They want us to take their word for it. That's why they tried this bizarre attachment of a 60-day extension of the service agreement with this bizarre amendment specific to this other project that has nothing to do with the extension. This has all been an agenda-driven resolution that's led up to this moment where they're trying to be able to go and do what they want and not have our input or oversight. I hope we vote no and we keep our leverage, our oversight, and our involvement until we get an even better answers.
I have Legislator Green for the first time, Legislator Nolan for the second time, Legislator Hewitt, and then Legislator Kitchen for the second time.
I just want to say that I agree that we should not give up bonding oversight, but this is for a specific project. We authorized a $75,000 feasibility study that made recommendations. The agency has moved forward. And the site is an ideal site, which is at risk of somebody else
purchasing it, and that would delay and hamper the project. The other thing I want to mention is that the construction demolition component is really critical for, if we do site a landfill in Ulster County, for reducing odors, because sheetrock is one of the main causes of odors. When sheetrock degrades, it releases hydrogen sulfide, which is the rotten egg smell. And we can use this facility not only to refurbish and repair things that can still stay in the resource stream, but also to reduce odors. Composting, which is already in place, reduces odors, but sheetrock as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Legislator Nolan for the second time.
Yes, thank you. I just want to reiterate what legislators Stewart and Green have said, that this is not the first time that this is being discussed, and it certainly wasn't the first time in some random and energy, environment, and sustainability meeting. This has been discussed for quite a long time, and there are these other suggestions of how to do it that have been considered, and this is the way that the legislature now has to vote if we're going to go forward. The site is a good one. The statement that was made about the county having responsibility for these costs, there are some implications, but if the agency were to default on the bond, that would expressly not be the responsibility of the county. So that's just not the right way to say it. So what we have is we have a pathway that's consistent with the feasibility study that serves the overall objective of reducing our waste stream, and we have an agency that's set up to handle it and came to us asking for one-time permission for a specific purpose, which has been laid out for us. Now, there's still a lot that will get done after we decide about this, but a lot of that moving forward will not happen unless we go forward this way. So to me, it is a decision of are we clear about what we want, and are we satisfied by the multiple presentations we've had over months about what is possible if we go this way. I'm very satisfied that we can have a good shot at having what Tompkins County has, and not just Tompkins County. It's all around the country that there are these centers doing exactly what we have asked the agency to try to do with this.
Thank you. Legislator Hewitt for the first time.
Thank you. After touring this facility, I see how close it is to being ready as a reuse innovation center, and I don't think we can continue our progress on resource recovery without a resource innovation center like this. Many examples exist. We've already heard about those, and the Repair Cafe movement is growing all over churches and community centers where people can bring their slightly used items or broken items and quickly fix them with people who know how to fix them. That's a potential that can expand. And also, I'm wondering how Sweden can be so good at recovering without good examples. Like, as we heard Minority Leader Roberts say, over 40 to 50% of their items are being recovered and recycled. And also, if they're building energy through waste, then we have to also innovate and become creative and not just burn our garbage. I think the Reuse Innovation Center concept slows our waste stream to analyze our impact more. Over half of our waste right now is organic matter that can be composted. I would also say, please read the study that Sustainable Hudson Valley did with their partners. It's a wonderful study that talks about very clear components of resources that could be diverted, including usable bicycles, perfect furniture that's thrown away, clean textiles. The old way of approaching demolition with C&D is really just waste and garbage all mixed together. But if we can create laws and funding for deconstruction, it helps our waste stream slow down once again. We are in the junk business now. Flow control helps us slow down a little bit, but we send our garbage to a landfill and we fill the land with waste that becomes toxic landfills. We throw it aside as if we don't have an impact on the problem, and we do.
Thank you. Legislator Kitchen for the second time.
Yes, so I don't have an issue, and I do agree that reclamation is a very good thing and positive for the environment. I don't like the location of where this wants to be situated, because first of all, if you travel down 32 through my district, maybe most of you don't, there's debris falling off the trucks that are delivering this stuff to the transfers to RRA every day, and it's strewn all over 32. And this new facility is going to strewn it more north another mile towards the lovely town of Sorgatys. I think that there needs to be consideration into the location of where this junk shop is going to go. I think it should maybe be go where the resource recovery is now. We own that land. Why spend the extra money on someplace, you know, to lease when we already own the land? And I, once again, I'm going to reiterate, I don't think the RRA or should be involved in the sale of antiques and furniture and everything else, like I was told. For example, if I want to get rid of my old recliner, chances are I'm going to put it on my curb, or I'm going to put it on Facebook Marketplace. If it's in good enough condition and somebody might want it, I probably wouldn't take it to the RRA. So I think this idea that we're going to make all kinds of money fixing some chairs and other things is just a fantasy. And I don't see where the common sense is. I'm sorry. Thank you.
Legislator Collins for a second time, followed by Litz, followed by Stewart, followed by Walls.
First, I want to thank the chair for allowing the split of this, because this gives us a clean resolution that we have to approve a bond. And this is exactly what the legislation is about. We're approving a bond in excess of $500,000. It happens to be $10 million for a purpose that we've already asked them to do. And I also want to say that we are not forfeiting our authority here. We are exercising our authority here. That's exactly what we're doing.
Thank you. I'm going to clarify that. Sorry. We are not approving a bond. We are approving their ability to bond. So I just want to make sure that that's very clear. I keep saying it over and over again, but that's what we're doing here right now. Okay, so I have Legislator Litz, followed by Legislator Stewart for a second time, followed by Legislator Walls. Legislator Maloney, it'll be your third time, so you'd have to take some time from someone. So we are at Legislator Litz right now.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. While the debate was going on, I came up what I think is a good compromise. Just in recent months, we spent $3.7 million to buy a piece of property to move our DA into. This property, because it's under one mortgage, the owner of 1157 Flatbush does not want to sell the front or the back of the property. It has to go together. The front part of the property has a 20,000 square foot office space that is currently rented, and then I guess the UCRRA would be able to become landowners and get that rental money. And they want to put the RIC, the Recycle Innovation Center, in the back building, which is 30,000 square feet. Cost of the property is around $6 million. Why doesn't the county buy the property, lease it, the back piece, to the UCRAA, or A, which then they could start the project immediately, and then the front 20,000 square foot office space would then generate income for the taxpayers of the county? That would be a good amenable solution. We have excess money in our fund balance. We could put the $6 million out there, wouldn't even have to bond it, buy the property. The RIC can go in the back building. We can collect rent for the taxpayers of this county on the front office space, or even bifurcate the property and sell the front piece and make a profit for the taxpayers of this county. and the remaining $4 million of the bond that UCRRA would need to purchase additional equipment or whatever to do their operation. I don't know what equipment they would need, but they obviously think they need $4 million worth of equipment. They can bond for that. So I think that's a good compromise. I think we maintain our ability for oversight, and I mean that would remain as of right now. The $5,000 ceiling would remain, and then they can come to us when they need to bond additional monies. We could buy the property. We have the money, and they could start the RIC tomorrow.
Legislator Stewart for a second time.
Pardon me. two things. I just wanted to comment on legislators Maloney's and others' concern about the legislators' oversight over the Accra. First of all, as has been noted previously, you know, this is specifically for this one project. Also, the other way that we have oversight over the agency is through appointing its board members, and I just wanted to point out that 10 days ago at the Environment and Energy Committee, we presented the chair of the legislature with five names of folks who we viewed as, you know, appropriate to be placed upon that board, and so we look forward to your final recommendation on that. But so we have oversight in those two ways. In addition, I also wanted to comment on a point that was made earlier by one of my colleagues, where it talks about involving the transfer stations in this project. I wanted to point out that the Accra Reform Committee, in their findings, they advocated creating like a hub and spoke plan in which people could take used furniture, old doors, old windows, that sort of thing, take them to their local transfer station, and then those transfer stations would serve as a collection center in the local municipalities that would then be transferred to the Reuse Innovation Center. So this idea of a hub and spoke plan is already in the works. So I just wanted to point that out. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Legislator Walz for the first time.
I would hope that the traffic concerns that have been cited are met. And I know Director Ryder has said that he's willing to meet with town officials regarding this. In theory, I think it makes sense to pull this stuff out of the waste stream. I think it, in the long run, I think it'll be money saving. And I think that's a good idea.
Thank you. Legislator Maloney, for a third time, are you borrowing time from someone?
Craig, you want to give me another one? I'd be happy to. You know, let's be honest. This whole thing, this is part of it, what was just mentioned by one of my colleagues, is about supermajority control. The entire county is run by one party. It's not healthy. That's what this whole avoidance of a bond vote is about. You can get the 12, you can't get the 16, maybe. This is the first time we've never in the history, all those pictures up there, besides the last one, every single chair has respected the minority leader's appointment onto the RA. This will be the first time in the history of this county that that's not so, that the minority leader does not just get to choose his or her appointment. That's always been something that has been done by the chair, and now we've gone away from that. We have total Democratic control, and on top of that, we have a Democratic caucus that basically agrees with the executive on everything. So that's what this overall conversation is about. Is the Republican Party going to be allowed to be part of any conversation when it comes to basically anything, but certainly the RRA? And so far, the answer is no. And when you follow the decisions that are being made over at the RRA, whether it's board appointments or bonding or anything else, the decision is being made by the executive and enacted by this legislature. And it's not healthy, and it won't work,
and I don't think any of you care.
Just so the public is clear, the two upcoming RRA appointments are chair appointments. They are not minority leader appointments. If they were minority leader appointments, I would let the minority leader make the appointment. They're not. They're chair appointments. That is what is in the documentation. It can be looked at. You can see it.
Yeah. That's and for the clear. First time ever, the Energy and Environment Committee was not involved in the process.
The Energy and Environment Committee was involved
absolutely
in the process.
Absolutely not.
They,
we all know what happened
had,
on the last one. We all know what
I'm
happened
I'm not going to argue
one.
With you.
You're the
where,
one that wants to sit here and argue your point up there as a chair
order,
normally
please.
Don't.
Thank you. I'm going to call this question now, please. On the resolution?
On the resolution, we're short, yes.
On the resolution?
We are a short no at one yes, Legislator Walz.
Thank you.
Resolution 83A is adopted 15-8. The next resolution in non-consent is resolution number 89, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to enter into a lease agreement with iPark 87 Commercial LLC for the Ulster County Office of Employment and Training, Department of Public Works.
On the resolution.
On the resolution, we're short yes.
We're short yes. Three no's, Lopez, Maloney, and Roberts.
The resolution is adopted 20-3. Resolution 94 was moved to consent. That brings us to resolution 95, appointing members to the Transit Riders and Intermodal Advisory Committee.
Majority Leader Ushetel.
I'd like to move to amend as presented.
Second.
Thank you. All in favor?
We're short yes on the amendment.
Thank you.
Short yes.
And on the resolution as amended?
We're short yes.
Short yes, thank you.
The resolution is adopted as amended 23-0. Resolution 119, adopting the Ulster County Parental Leave Program.
Minority Leader Roberts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I believe that the county should move more toward or join the state, New York State Paid Family Leave Program. It is much more cost efficient. It pays up to 67%. It does have a cap on it, but it doesn't cost the taxpayers anything. It is fully employee paid, and it's not a lot of money. For $1,000, it's like up to $3 a week. We should have went in that direction. County exec said this doesn't cost us anything. It sure does. It costs us lost productivity. Joining the state programs already in place would have been a much better option.
Majority Leader Ushetel.
Thank you. You know, the reason the state program is less expensive is because it provides much less benefit to the employee. There's a limit on the amount of time they can take. There's a limit on the amount that they can earn as compared to their actual wages. So we're actually providing full wages for 12 weeks. There is a problem in society about how hard it is to raise a family. And folks are quick to criticize how people aren't having children, but the reality is it is very hard to have children when you need two people to earn an income, and we don't have a culture in this country of having proper leave for maternity or paternity, for family leave. And so this is a much bigger step in the right direction. I don't think that we should try and tighten it back and pull back from the county workforce. We want to give people the flexibility to raise families. And if you think that that's an issue, which I do, you should support this program. And we should actually be doing more.
Legislator Maloney.
Yes, my wife and I have four children. I think they were all brought in to this world with at least one of their parents working for the county. I was actually one that wrote the breastfeeding policy that we're still not following because my wife had to go knock on Jim Farina's door and ask him to leave the office so she could pump and then put breast milk in a refrigerator, a community refrigerator. We're still not in compliance with the policy, unfortunately, but I do give a damn about mothers. You know, one of the reasons I find myself over here with the Republicans is because of the way we look at men and women, and I think they're different, and I don't think we're being fair to women. I don't think we're being fair to women on the sports fields or in the locker rooms with biological men, and I certainly don't think that a policy like this should treat men and women equally. I don't think it's feasible. I don't think it's sustainable. I think there should definitely be extraordinary circumstances, but I don't think a father, you know, I don't think I should have gotten 4 months off. I don't think our country is going to be able to handle that if every mother and father get half a year off every time we bring a new beautiful life into this world. Yes, there's extraordinary circumstances that should be written in, but I think watching my wife and I experience childbirth those 4 times, I think it was her that really needed to be home for 4 months, and that's just the reality of what I think is reality. And I think it should be a different number for fathers and a different number for mothers in the county. And I think that makes a lot of sense, and I'm sorry if that offends anybody. I hope it doesn't. And like I said, you can come up with some very particular niche extraordinary circumstances, and I think we could write that in. But we're kidding ourselves if we think we're going to be here in 50 years as a country and continue to pass these things that cost the taxpayer so much money. And there are a lot of people out there that we're supposed to be providing services for that have children. We have children living in cars with their parents, children living in tents with their parents, and we're letting people take half the year off when they have their children. And I'm all for it for the mother. I'm all for it. But let's be real. That's why I'm a no, and it's not because I'm against this in general. It's because, once again, I'm not just going to be a yes because I agree with some of it. We can do better. We can save money and still provide. And I don't think we're doing the best possible job we can do here.
Legislator Litz, followed by Legislator Collins, followed by Legislator Nolan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I put 34 and a half years in the state system. I had children, maternity leave through the state. It wasn't all that bad. And I am definitely for parental leave program. But I am going to tell you, and anybody who knows me, I'm fiscally responsible, and I tend to vote no on any resolution that has TBD under the financial impact. I know it's tough to put a number how many people are going in county service are going to have children this year, but you can look at historical numbers. You can look at the average, you can look at whatever, but I really hate to see TBD, to be determined. There should have been a number there, $20,000 plus or minus, or something. I mean, to vote on something that is TBD is against my nature. It really is. I'm probably going to vote yes on this, but it's going against the grain because I like to see real numbers so that the taxpayers see real numbers, not to be determined. To be determined can get us in a lot of problems.
Legislator Collins, followed by Nolan, followed by McCullough, followed by Harmon.
We've had a discussion earlier in today's session about supporting our employees and making sure that they get compensated correctly, compensated accurately. Part of supporting our employees is to make sure that they have the ability to raise their family the most effective way possible. Part of that is the beginning of a child's life. Whether you're a male or a female, sorry, I get emotional. It's important. It's important to be with your kids. It's important for you to bond with your kids. Whether you're male, female, or whatever other gender you identify as. It's not about just a female, not about just sorry, that's it. Thank you.
Legislator Nolan.
Yes, I just want to say that I want to voice an objection to the term biologic male or biological male. That's not a scientific or medical term, and I don't think it helps us. It tends to be used to deal with appearance at birth, But appearance at birth does not tell you what a person's chromosomes are. Even the chromosomes don't tell you what the person's hormones are. Even the person's hormones do not tell you if the other cells in the body respond to those hormones. And none of that tells you what the psychic orientation of the person is. So it's a term that's used, I think, to divide instead of to understand. And I would like to speak on behalf of understanding. It may be that we should use some other measure of who competes in what sports arena than either the appearance at birth or the appearance at the time of the competition. Maybe it should be the testosterone level or some other measure that generates fair competition. So I think we could have conversations, but to do so, we need to be clear on some things. And I also would like to say that if somebody asks me to call them John instead of Jonathan, I do that.
We are getting a little far afield here. So
this was a comment that was made, and I appreciate the body hearing my concerns.
Absolutely. Legislator McCullough.
I just want to say that if we're not paying people the way we should be, and we're able to help in them other ways, then we should absolutely do it, especially when it's regarding family. Thank you.
Thank you. I have Harmon, Maloney for a second time, Stewart, Hewitt.
Thank you, Chair. I think one of the things that we are missing in this conversation is disparities in generational economics. So, you know, for many of us in this room, when we were at the point in our lives when we were having children, the economics were vastly different than they are now. People in their 40s and 30s live in a gig economy. And great, so we're talking about county employees, but we don't know the circumstances of the other parent. We don't know the whole picture, nor should we, nor do we have any reason to. But to say that it's not all that bad, it wasn't all that bad, great, but that doesn't speak to everyone's lived experience. And when we start to then parse what parent can stay home when and for how long, we presume a great deal about the makeup of a wide variety of families. So we're presuming circumstances that look like ours, which is exactly not the way to legislate. Thank you.
Thank you. I have Legislator Maloney for a second time, followed by Stewart.
Sure, I
100%. Followed by Hugh.
Yep. I 100% stand by everything I said. I'm open to talking further. I think there is a lack of reality that has just begun to dominate politics on every level. If we have the money to pay for people to have kids and be home for that long and not provide the services over at DSS, respond to domestics, respond to I see the individual over there that goes and saves everybody's lives or attempts to out on a river, all these different important jobs. If we have that kind of money, can we at least pay our employees first when we come up with these wonderful ideas that we obviously are sitting on all this money and we have all these contracts that are out and over? And from what I hear, the offers are not acceptable. I heard a salary study a presentation today that was ridiculous and lacking, and everybody, half the people in this room, come to all these meetings just waiting for us to finally pay them. As we give ourselves raises, we do have the money. We have the money to let both parents sit home for 4 months. We have the money to give ourselves raises, but we don't have the money just to give you the raise. But we do. We're sitting on $100 million. So as we come up with these neat-sounding things that'll sound great in the paper, they're very progressive, can we just pay the unions? Can we just pay them and then have this conversation and see what we can afford?
Legislator Stewart.
I was just going to add that I think having a generous parental leave package will greatly improve our county's workforce, their morale, and it'll also help with retention. So I'm just saying those are additional benefits of such a policy.
Thank you. Legislator Hewitt for the first time.
Thank you. I just want to thank the executive for this innovative and generous package for creating equal benefits for our employees. My wife and I both worked part-time when we raised our babies, and we chose to work part-time, and we also chose massive debt because we wanted to pour love and education over our children, and that put us in massive debt. So if we can support our families who work for the county, they can have children like my children who go to great colleges and have good relationships with their parents, because our parents should spend time with their babies. Thank you.
Thank you. Minority Leader, Deputy Minority Leader Lopez, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So the resolution is well-intended. You know, I'm not against a lot of what's in it. But I look at it as face value, and my concerns are the lack of detail. And I would like for the sponsor or those that are more familiar with the proposal to perhaps shed some insight. The resolution doesn't address whether the employees will continue to accrue benefits, such as health care insurance, retirement contributions, or paid time off during their paid parental leave. Another concern is the possible impact on smaller departments within the county may face greater challenges in managing workloads in the absence of employees on parental leave. The resolution does not address how these departments will manage staffing shortages, and without additional support or guidance, this could lead to operational disruptions. It also mentions inclusion. There is no mention of inclusion of fostering. The resolution mentions bonding and caring for newborn or adopted children, but does not specify whether fostering families will be included in the program. It may be important for the policy to exemplify and include fostering as a valid reason for parental leave to ensure equality and support for the employees as well. So, yeah, I think these are all issues that need to be addressed before we move forward. Again, I'm not against it, per se, but without addressing these issues, which I think could be, a simple fix or clarification, if sent back to committee, would come out as a stronger piece of legislation and something that I personally could support.
So are you putting forward a motion to send it back to committee?
I would like to do so.
And is there a second for that motion?
I'll second.
So there's now a motion to send this back to committee.
Which one, Mr. Chair?
Yeah, which committee would this come back to? So there's a motion to send this back to Ways and Means, and it's been seconded. On that motion.
Short no on this side, please.
I'd like to just add on the postponement. Maybe we could talk about other things that are in the state law, including caring for an assistant or caring for a loved one, a family member with a serious health condition, whether it be a child and or a elderly parent.
So we're in the middle of a vote on the motion to postpone.
Actually, Mr. Chairman, yes. I'd be willing to withdraw that motion if the sponsor and or others who are more familiar with this policy could answer some of the questions that I've raised.
It's been brought forward and seconded and voted on at this point. So what's our proper
position? We've got to finish voting on it.
We've finished voting on this.
Well, can I withdraw that motion?
It
hasn't been voted on.
All that process? It's been seconded and voted on.
Long roll?
So
can I call a long roll?
I'm
Kevin, did you vote?
Kevin. I didn't vote yet.
Even on something that's been voted on already?
Only 15 out of
so
we've, 3 voted.
So we voted. So this side has voted.
No ability to call a long roll at this point?
After a vote has already occurred.
So when a minority or majority leader quickly says no on behalf of his caucus without even looking at him, that constitutes a vote and takes away the right for a long roll?
I'm asking our legal counsel whether...
That's your discretion. You can permit a long roll even though we've already begun the voting
process. Do you agree, minority counsel?
I concur you have the discretion to call that long roll.
So we'll call a long roll.
So no one's yet voted. Can he withdraw now?
So we have a motion and a second. Can this be withdrawn with a motion and a second on the floor, counselors?
What point of order? We've already voted. We can't take the vote back.
I'm getting the counselors' input on this, so let's. This is why they're here.
I haven't voted.
Correct.
My vote was never registered.
Correct. You have not voted yet.
The vote has not been fully tallied. The chair exercised his discretion to permit the long roll from happening. If the second wishes to withdraw a second and the movement wishes to withdraw the motion, then the motion can be withdrawn.
So does the second want to remove his second? And do you want to remove your motion to...
Are you withdrawing your motion?
I am withdrawing my motion.
And I am withdrawing my second.
Okay, so we're back at zero. We're back at zero.
Are you calling the question? The original question.
So we're back at the original question, correct?
So
we're calling the question
no,
to
Chairman?
The resolution. Yes.
No, I'd be willing to change my vote in the affirmative if either the sponsor or a member of the supporting caucus could answer the questions that I raised.
Majority Leader, you should tell us.
Thank you
like
so much for describing the Democratic caucus as the supporting caucus of the Family Leave Act, the Family Leave Plan here. I really appreciate that, first of all. Second of all, my understanding is that this that benefits would continue to accrue. My understanding is that fostering isn't included in this, and if we would like to include it, it's definitely there's a different nature to that type of family, and we should definitely discuss that as a separate program. I'm incredibly proud to support this. I'm honestly shocked that there's opposition, but I guess I shouldn't be. I'm often shocked about what's coming out of the Republican Party these days. Maybe I shouldn't be. Hold on. You were asked for a comment from the supporting caucus. That's what I have to say, and I can't believe we're having this conversation.
I'm going to call the question at this point.
You get a long roll, Mr. Chair.
I'm going to get a long roll. We're going to call the question.
You can comment on your long roll. That is your turn to vote.
On resolution 119, Clinton, yes. Collins.
I've never been more positive of a yes before.
Corcoran.
Yes.
Criswell.
Yes.
Donaldson.
Wholeheartedly, yes.
Guevaras.
Yes.
Green?
Yes.
Hansett?
Yes.
Harmon?
So happy to say yes.
Hewitt?
Yes.
Kitchen?
Yeah, I'm going to say yes, but I want to explain my vote. Once again, the other side of the aisle wants us to vote on something, but they didn't put forth any policy with any details or anything or a financial impact. I think it's a great idea. Of course, I'm going to vote for it. But I'd like to know what the details are before you vote on something. That just makes common sense. You haven't put together any kind of detailed proposal, financial impact. But I'm going to vote yes, so I can, you know, it's a good thing. I just hope that we see a packet or a policy somehow put together so we know what we're voting on sometimes. And what the impacts are. Thank you.
Kovacs.
I do not oppose helping working families, and I do not oppose parental leave in principle. What I do oppose is rubber stamping an expensive policy with no cost analysis and no plan for implementation. The responsible course of action is to table this resolution until a full fiscal impact study is considered. We should demand a breakdown. Overtime, temporary workers, long-term fiscal effects. Until we have those numbers, it is imprudent to pass this resolution. I'm a no.
Levine.
Yes.
Litz.
I will explain my vote. I can't even remember the last time I voted for something that said to be determined when it came to fiscal impact. I do believe there's things lacking in this resolution. I know there's a lot of foster parents out there that would love to be able to bond with their new child. That probably should have been included in here. But, like we always do, we're going to pass things right away. It's immediate. It's got to be done. We're not vetting it. We're not going to look into it and see what's the best thing to do. And even this session, we had resolutions put forth in the consent to modify a resolution we did a couple of months ago or a month and a half ago, whatever it was, because we shoot from the hip. We don't take the time to do things right. We keep going back and amending laws and resolutions that we passed several months ago because we don't take the time to do it right. I'm a yes on this. I think it's very important to have parental guidance and leave for a new child, whether it's an infant or a six-year-old. I would have liked to have seen also something in here about being able to take some time off when you have a failing parent who's aged. Both of my parents, I wish I could have spent more time with them. But we're not addressing that here. We're going to shoot from the hip. Got to do it right away, right away. Everything's right away. Even some of these other resolutions tonight brought forth at the 11th hour.
Point of order.
Why do we have to do everything?
Talking about other resolutions?
Yes. Please.
Why do we have to do our resolutions, including this one, so fast, that are not totally vetted or
legislative? Could you please stick to the
in some,
what we're voting
I'm
on
talking
right now,
about
please.
This one.
Okay, thank you.
And we're not doing our due diligence to do good legislation that is complete. So we don't have to keep going back and doing amendments. I'm a yes on this because I think it's very important. But we got to start spending time on our legislation and not keep ramming it through and then having to go back and redo it.
Lopez.
So I wanted to be a yes on this because I believe in it. And, the issues that I raised, I think, were important ones. And the way that it was answered, patently and blatantly ignored, I think, the ones that were probably most important, and the only one that was addressed was the inclusion of fostering, which a solution was proposed to do additional legislation. When I think the easiest fix would be to include this, it wouldn't take much, an amendment. Possibly, but something that could be done in committee rather than, reinventing the wheel. So the fact that that wasn't addressed, I think is unfortunate. And because my questions weren't answered, and I'm gonna be a no on this only because I think it could be better.
Maloney.
When did Noah build the ark? Before the rain. And it's raining. We have a $37 trillion debt. Infrastructure across the country is a mess. Water quality in every town across the United States is scary. I could go on and on.
these things that we want to do that sound great, that we can't, that so many of us are scared to be a no because it could
Point
be better
order.
Or
this
they don't just like
the...
it. Excuse me, it's exactly about it, and I'm sick of being interrupted when I'm giving a specific
please,
spiel
please
on...
Please continue. Let
it's just the interruptions.
Please,
it's
please
every
continue.
Month.
Please
the
continue.
Interruptions.
Please continue.
You may not like what I have to say, but you got to listen to it. It's still
legislator,
a democracy.
Legislator Moen, please continue. He's
so, my wife as a county employee has brought more life into the world than every single legislator here combined. It is not as if I do not care about the quality time that a mother or father gets to spend with their children. It is about sustainability. These children that we're bringing into the world that we so want to bond with, what is the future they are going to have if we keep doing these things? This is temporary. In the next 5 or 10 years, we'll have to be pulling all these things back we've done as a government on all these different levels because we can't afford it, or we'll be speaking Chinese. It's a reality. We have to be real. Government is a business with compassion. We cannot forget the compassion, but we also can't forget the bottom line. And these kinds of things, when we do it blanket for both parents, 4 months with all this, and they continue to accrue time, and we have no specifics on the cost or how it's going to work, this is a disaster. I mean, we are going down. I feel so sad for my children as I sit up here in the legislature the last couple of years, and I see how we spend with no real idea on how it's all going to work. But here we go again. And those of us that are brave enough to vote no, even though we care about kids and families as much as anybody else, we're going to be demonized. It's going to be held over our head, and that's going to continue to make legislators like the ones in this body continue to vote yes on things they know should be done better. I, for one, don't do that. I vote no. I take it. It is what it is. I'll explain it to anybody that asks about it. But this isn't as good as it could be, and we could do something that we could afford to do for the next 50 years instead of the next 5 years. No.
McCullough.
I just want to say that although it's open to both parents, who's to say that both will take advantage of it? We cannot think for people or even assume what's going to happen. Let's just get this done and make it available to those that need this help at this time, especially when it comes to family. Let's not forget the family.
Nolan.
Yes, I would like to say that I see this as a both-and situation. I certainly support adjusting salaries through the mechanisms that need to happen now that we have the salary study, but we don't have to not do that because we're doing this. And I do think that foster parenting is enough different that it would be good to look at it separately. There's a kind of built-in limit to the capacity of parents to bring into this world children through the birth process. There's a sort of term limit, if you will, a full term or a preterm limit. But foster parenting doesn't have that. And I do know many foster families that have multiple children, and some of them have brought many children in a short period of time. And so we might want to consider how we could deal with that if we have capacity for that to be unlimited. And similarly with aging parents. So I see this as the start of broadening the parental leave policy that we have, which is good, which takes care of the mother in this situation. And I think expanding it is really helpful. It's intended to be good. It's available to all employees of the county. So it is a benefit that we're making available, and we should continue to do this and other things like it.
Roberts.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. This policy came into effect in 1993 by the federal government. The state government passed a similar law but required payment buy-in in 2018. Why are we doing this now and not the previous year? Why are we not including family members that are ill and foster kids? I think this policy was written together haphazardly and done probably because the county executive vetoed the pay raises for the building and grounds workers. And half my colleagues on the other side didn't show up for the override. So that's why they feel guilty, and now they're giving the employees this. I'm going to be a no.
Sperry.
Yes.
Stewart.
I am a yes on this, and I would say that I would also support working with any member of this body to include assistance for foster parents and those who are dealing with an ailing family member or with seniors. So I'm a yes.
You should tell.
A couple things I would like to say. First of all, Deputy Minority Leader Lopez asked questions. I answered them. The benefits accrue. I said that. The benefits accrue. And we had the foster question answered. I don't think there was another question that was asked. Second of all, I realize in my response that it is uncomfortable to have your entire party painted with a single brushstroke. I am not the first legislator here tonight who did that. It's been happening to my caucus. We get painted with a single brushstroke every night here by a member of the Republican caucus. So, sorry, it doesn't feel good. I'm sure it didn't feel good to hear me say it either. And the third thing that I want to say is that I was the president of a company that instituted a family leave policy very similar to this, and it was so beautiful to watch my employees have babies and to raise their families and to retain those employees, and I'm really excited to see that in the county workforce and really proud to cast my vote yes for this.
And Walls.
This is a good resolution and could have been better if some of the details were flushed out. I'm a yes.
The resolution is adopted 19-4.
Thank you. I just want to remind the public that all of our committee meetings are live streamed, and that if you don't have an opportunity to see it live stream, you can view it on our YouTube channel. Every single resolution has an opportunity for debate. That they are time stamped, so you can actually go in and you can see which resolution is being talked about at what point. So there is ample opportunity for the public to hear the debate on every single resolution that we have. So I just want to make that clear for the record.
The last resolution on the agenda tonight is 124, establishing a policy requiring vendor reporting as a component of executing certain contract extensions on behalf of Ulster County for professional services.
Legislator Maloney, then yes. Legislator Nolan.
Just for the public, this is we've had a lot of questions about different contracts and with certain not-for-profits and things. All of our contracts require a report to be done at the end of the year, the end of the contract. And a lot of times what ends up happening is when we extend the contract, we extend it before we get the report. So this just requires we get that report a little earlier, even if it doesn't have the last couple of months of data, we still get it, and we can look at it, do a better job approving the extension of a lot of these service and programmatic-centric contracts. Most people liked it.
Legislator Nolan.
Yes, we understand from the executive's team that this resolution is duplicative of the process that they already use in moving forward contracts. There are instances where there is some leeway given, and it seems to me that that can be of a benefit to the county to have that leeway and have some flexibility in regard to this. This is not a bad idea, but it's written very tightly. And so I can see that it may cause some problems, especially with new contracts. So I'm not supportive of it in the way it's written here. But it's not a bad idea to have this requirement, of course. So I'll be a no on this, but it's because it's doing too much of something that's already done well and making it too rigid.
Legislator Litz.
I was not going to speak on this, but This is requiring vendor reporting for an extension of a contract. Even teachers, you know, give grades. So you want to look at the grades. We would like to know, and hopefully the county executive would like to know, how a vendor is doing in their contract prior to extending it. You really don't want to find out after you've extended the contract for a year that they're not meeting the requirements of the original contract. So I don't see an issue with this, because you're looking at the report card before you advance them to the next grade. They even do that in schools.
Thank you. Legislator Nolan for a second time.
So I think that comment just illustrates my concern, which is that it appears that some people think that nobody's grading our vendors and not paying attention to their contracts, whereas the reports we get at every committee meeting are about exactly these kind of things, especially when there's a contract extension that comes up. We always have the ability to ask for this information. So it's really the idea that somehow the legislature now, you know, has the, you know, policy to do this. It's being done. It's been being done. Anybody that has questions can always hold up an extension of a contract to get this kind of information. So it probably won't hurt anything to have this resolution, but it does hurt a little bit to kind of have it implied that there's a need for this when things have been reported to committees that I'm on regularly for decades, exactly of what grade there we have on the people that are applying for extensions. So when we don't get that information, it's generally because things are going good, and that helps things move along. If people want to dig into this detail on all these contracts, you'll now be able to say that you have the right to do it.
Legislator Collins.
Yeah, I'm going to vote yes on this, but I don't believe it's really necessary. I think we already have the right to ask how they performed on the existing contract. We can always hold it up in our committee to get the answers to the questions that we need. So I don't feel like we need to do this. At the same time, I don't feel it hurts necessarily to do this. So I'm a yes still.
On the resolution.
Short yes, one no. Legislator Nolan.
Short yes.
The resolution is adopted 22-1.
Okay. We are now going to move into public comment on matters not currently before the legislature. And I just want to remind everyone that you have 2 minutes to speak. We encourage you to speak, and we ask that everyone please keep their comments respectful. Clerk Fabella, do we have anyone signed up for this public comment period?
We do. We have 4 speakers signed up.
Please.
The first speaker signed up is Meg Carey.
Meg Ryan. Hi. Little change of pace. I have tremendous respect for the Catskill Mountain Railroad. From the rebuilding by hand of Kingston's C9 Bridge to the exhilarating success of Thomas the Tank Engine in the Polar Express, the Catskill Mountain Railroad has demonstrated its commitment to high-quality work and excellence in providing popular train experiences. The Catskill Mountain Railroad supports Rail with Trail and has offered its expertise in helping the trail become a reality. There's no reason, however, to stall the extension of track to Basin Road at the boundary of the DEP land. The Catskill Mountain Railroad is primed and ready to begin work this summer and will fund the project itself. Now is the time for you, the Ulster County Legislature, to get on board and strongly support this community treasure. Where there's a will, there's a way. And as Nelson Mandela said, it always seems impossible until it's done. What the Catskill Mountain Railroad has done over the last decade has proven that it has the skill, grit, and dedication to persevere and to make the future of Rail with Trail possible. I urge you to stand together and support the Catskill Mountain Railroad's extension plan. Additional track will allow for a much-needed, attractive destination. This will substantially increase the railroad's ability to attract more riders and to offer even more special events, such as a Harry Potter train experience. Let's all get on board and make this happen. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next speaker signed up is Vinny Nigro.
My name is Vinny Nigro, and I'm here to support the Catskill Mountain Railroad. I didn't write a whole lot of stuff down, but here's what I know. That railroad generates a lot of money for our community. Located 90 miles north of New York City, residents of New York City can have breakfast at home, get in the car, drive up here, have a tremendous experience, eat in our restaurants, shop in our stores, and be home in time for dinner. The other side of that is that people come from all over this country to visit their loved ones in New York City. It's a stopping ground so that they can come up and ride the railroad. And then these people are supporting our hotels and our conference centers by booking rooms, staying the weekend. If you go to Uptown Kingston between the second week of November and the end of the year, and everybody's in pajamas, it's not because they can't afford clothes. It's because they're there for the Polar Express. We are in the memory-making business, generating over $10 million for this community. We can share the rails. We can share it. We can do it together. I look out, here's my first meeting. I'm glad I'm here because you people remind me of Little League umpires, because no matter what call you make, half the people aren't going to be happy. So with that said, everybody can be happy. You can take a look at me and see I'm not a hiker. But I am a Santa Claus, and nobody likes a skinny Santa Claus. So I just want to read to you real quick. I have 30 seconds. I'm a resident of Greene County, not me. I often have friends visit from New York City and elsewhere and enjoy taking them around the area. We are all senior citizens. Some cannot walk long distances, so the Catskill Mountain Railroad is a fun and unique experience to take them. They are not physically able to navigate the trails, no matter how level or well-maintained they may be. By turning the railroad into a trail, is ignoring the seniors who visit Kingston also, who live there. By the way, can I just have... Yeah. Thank you. Sorry. I'm a rules follower. So half the people that ride the train each year are Ulster County residents. I know that because I know the lady that does the reservations, and we give discounts to our Ulster County residents. So by turning down the extension, it's kind of like an age discrimination by removing yet one more of Kingston's attractions that seniors can participate in. I hope we can continue to visit Kingston, enjoy its restaurants, make the highlight of our trip a ride on the Catskill Mountain Railroad. And this is from Harrison Chapin from Catskill, New York. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
The next speaker is Larry Roth.
Good evening. I'm here to support extending the Catskill Mountain Railroad all the way up to Basin Road and building a trail alongside. This is not something that should be hard to figure out. The railroad is prepared to not ask for any money. They are got the financing and the plans lined up. They're ready to go. All they need is for the county to move forward on this. I am looking at the current issue of New York by Rail, which is dedicated to passenger rail in New York State. They have an article on biking the Empire State with Amtrak. Bring your bike on board. They talk about riding the Erie Canalway Trail, the Champlain Valley Trail, and the Hudson Valley Greenway Trail, pointing out all the connections you can make with Amtrak. Ride your bike somewhere, take the train back, or take the train out and ride back. It seems rather strange that you come across the river and there seems to be a whole mindset that, no, we just simply cannot do that. The Rails to Trails Conservancy, which is a big pro-rail trail group, has a number of resources documenting that rails with trail work, they're practical, they can be done safely, and they have dozens of examples of them around the country. I have traveled to Europe, and I've seen how it works there. You get on a train in England, for example, they have a section where you can put your bike on. I've been in the railway station at York, which is a huge complex. There were literally hundreds of bicycles on the station platform. People have ridden in and used the bikes to get there when they arrived by train. So we could be in line with the rest of the world, or we could take a very narrow view, put up obstacles, and really kick ourselves in the butt if we don't do what could be done so easily. It just takes the will, and we have people ready and willing to do it. So let's do rail with trail. Let's do it now.
Thank you, sir. Is there... there's one more person.
One more signed up, and that was Tanae Wood.
Good evening.
Hi, guys. Just want to say a couple things. One, can't stand that policy where we're not allowed to say our responses to what was spoken about, so I do it anyway. Two, I'm not a spokesperson for the CSEA. I am an Ulster County worker, and that is what I represent for myself. When it comes to the family, the parental leave, I think it's really great. I think that if they had that type of thing when I was younger, I would have benefited greatly from it and would not have had to work full-time and go to college full-time with a three-month-old child that I had to take care of by myself because her dad wasn't there. So that would have been really awesome, and I think it will benefit many county workers. I also think that I had heard something about only $3 out of each paycheck, but guess what? That $3 is a lot to someone like myself. So that being an option isn't really an option for someone like myself. Keep that in mind. Also, don't know if anybody knows this, Department of Social Services, the limit for one person to be able to be approved for temporary assistance is $514. If you make $515 a month, you cannot get temporary assistance in Ulster County. That doesn't even make a car payment. Something to be looked at. All of the things that were brought up tonight are very important, but there are things that are far more important than some of the things that were brought up. No offense to anyone. Fact is, again, we talked about recycling for a really long time. We really like that subject. Let's start really liking the people that live in the county and have to deal with all of these societal norms as well as the societal pushback when it comes to being able to get monies and help and assistance. People USA that was here, amazing service. They should be getting something. They should be getting a lot more than they do. But, all right, time's up. Thanks, guys. Have a lovely night.
Thank you very much. Is there anybody else here who would like? Yes, please. And please state your name for the record.
Tina Bono.
Thank you.
So my name is Tina Bono, and I'm the president of CSEA Unit 8950. I represent Ulster County's largest segment of its workforce, and we are almost 900 strong. You have seen us peppered throughout this gallery here at the legislative sessions in numerous committee meetings since the end of 2023. And you will see on our t-shirts that we carry the same message, Ulster County works because we do. Up until tonight, we may have been silent, but we have been watching and listening. We are here because we have asks of each and every one of you that sit here tonight. Baker Tilly presented their final results of a salary study today to the audit committee. This salary study has been long overdue and has impeded our efforts to correct emergent wage disparities in multiple work locations and titles throughout the Ulster County workforce I represent. As the president, I can tell you that we do not agree with their findings, and we will continue to compile our own data that truly represents the financial disparities with our closest competitors that keep qualified employees from applying to vacant positions or retaining our experienced workforce from applying to positions just across this county line. As an employee of one of Ulster County's largest agencies, I can speak about the difficulties and the strain of not having qualified applicants apply for our necessary vacant titles. My members not only serve our most vulnerable populations, but they provide services that our Ulster County residents have come to rely on, and they maintain our roadways, public buildings, local parks, and trails with the utmost pride and dedication to the county that we serve. It is imperative that we collectively see to it that this workforce of Ulster County is fairly compensated for the service that they provide to the Ulster County and its residents. Before this body considers resolutions or makes decisions that have unintended consequences on your constituents and the employees of this county, we implore you to engage the union on the inner workings of our contract and discuss any potential conflicts that your proposals may put into motion. We both want to better the lives of those that we serve. We have always been and will continue to be available for questions or discussions either at legislative meetings, or you can go to the website CSCA Unit 8950 to get our direct contact information. I also provided cards to the legislative clerk. I would also like to add that I wholeheartedly thank you for Resolution 119.
Thank you. Is there anybody else who would like to speak? Anybody else? Yes, please. And please state your name for the record when you get to the mic. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Harrison Baldiff. I'm not yet a resident of Ulster County. I've been trying to work on that. I'm an employee of the railroad. It's been a little bit hard working out of my car from the volunteer era up to the present, doing those Polar Expresses. There when we did the day out with Thomas back in 14. I don't want to insult my elders, but I'm one of the young guys that would actually be working on this extension if it were to be granted. I've ridden a track car out there way back when we had the lease on it. There is footage on YouTube that could be shared on the subject if you wanted to get a good look of what it had looked like with a bit less brush on it. As a bit of a ferroequinologist myself, the things that make this right-of-way different has been the stuff that has made it the most appealing for riders. Only rail excursion within the valley, that seems to draw some attention. Just like the only rail with trail that I know of in the county, about three-quarter of a mile out on the Kingston Point, it's lightly built, below standard as that particular one is. It attracts people because it's different. We already have 30 miles of rails-to-trails conversions of the O&W branch, about 30 miles worth of wall kill. You took 11 miles of the Ulster and Delaware on the right-of-way that was double track of the reservoir. I ask that you consider doing a rails-with-trail on the undesignated section because it'd be nice to try a change of pace. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else who would like to speak? Right, seeing none, I'm going to move us along. I call on Legislator Kovacs to read the names of community members who have passed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This meeting is adjourned in memory of Kevin Werbach, Milton, June Jennison, Milton, Mary Connor, Marlboro, Angelo Secreto, Highland, Carlton D. Bowers, Marbletown, Herbert F. Morehouse Sr., Hurley, Dennis Helm, Connolly, Eugene Slater, Marlboro, Frank Pascarello, Milton, Anthony Arizema, Marlboro, William Gaffney, Ulster, Lois J. Petromal, Ulster, Francis Vico, Lake Katrine.
Thank you. I now call on Legislator Hansett to offer some closing words.
I'd just like to recognize Dennis Helm. He's a former chairman of the board of directors of Resource Recovery.
Thank you. Legislator Hanson, please join us.
Thank you, Chair. Good evening. It is an honor to stand before you to speak about Women's History Month, a time dedicated to the contributions of women throughout history, the progress we have made, and the contributions we will continue to make. The 19th Amendment to the United States Constitution allowed women the right to vote in 1920, a mere 100 years ago. This action took over four decades, and during this time, women wrote speeches, marched, lobbied, and practiced civil disobedience to achieve what many Americans considered a radical change to the Constitution. Few early supporters lived to see the final victory in 1920. An interesting fact is that in 1866, Elizabeth Cady Stanton unsuccessfully ran for office, even though she was not allowed to vote. Additionally, there are 18 countries where husbands have the legal right to prevent their wives from working. More than 100 countries have laws which prevent women from working in some jobs. And in some countries today, prohibit women to leave their home without a male chaperone or their husband's permission. Across the world, women continue to be denied political participation, leadership opportunities, and even basic human rights. This makes one realize that, even with our faults in the United States, it is still a great place to live. I don't need to speak of the famous names. I would rather speak of the everyday women, the mothers and grandmothers, aunts, caregivers, teachers, healthcare workers, leaders in our communities, and leaders in our home. Our history has shown that we have had to fight for our right to vote, our right for an education, and equal pay. We have come very far, but are not done yet. I do have a unique perspective in some ways. First, I am the only woman in my caucus, which does put me in a unique situation. Secondly, some 20-something years ago, while my father served in this legislature, he passed away. My mother finished his term and successfully ran two more times. At that time, my mother was in her 70s and had never held an office. To me, she was just my mom doing something she felt was important. Now looking back, I realized it wasn't so simple. It was a handful of female legislators in a then body of 33 members. Doing what I do now, I have more respect and understanding of how hard that was for her, especially as a new widow. Who thought history would not repeat itself, but closely resemble, as I was elected a mere 12 weeks after becoming a widow? My quiet mother was a role model for me all those years ago, and I would not understand that for 20 years. Lessons learned about perseverance, which I would say is one of women's strong traits. You might refer to it as stubbornness, but we will take that. To all the women, all of you in this room, and in our lives, your strength, your courage, your unwavering determination is an inspiration to us all. And to the men that respect and support us, thank you. Women's history isn't in the past. It is something that we live every day. It is an opportunity to succeed, to lead, to make a mark on history in a small way or in a grand way. Each of us are part of this and what shapes us with our voices, our actions, our choices, and how we treat each other. Let us remember the pioneers, the activists, the ordinary heroes who have paved the way for us to be here on the sixth floor of the Ulster County Office Building, casting our votes, voicing our opinions, and trying to make a difference. Let us honor those before us and let's lead for those that will come after us, leaving a place where we feel valued and included. I will end with a quote by Melissa Gates. A woman with a voice is by definition a strong woman, but the search to find that voice can be remarkably difficult. I applaud you all for finding your voice. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next regular meeting of the Ulster County Legislature will be held on Tuesday, April 15th, 2025 at 7 p.m. in the Legislative Chambers, 6th floor, Ulster County Office Building, 244 Fair Street, Kingston, New York. Resolution deadline is Wednesday, March 19th, 2025. I now ask for a motion to adjourn.
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion to adjourn the legislative session.
And is there a second? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? This meeting is adjourned.